No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I got one of the hottest rappers out of Dallas, Yella Beezy, in here. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up with?
Amazing, man. I'm just chilling. I spent a lot of time yesterday just getting refamiliarized with your catalog and everything, and you're definitely one of the best rappers coming out right now.
Appreciate the love.
Yeah, so you're originally from Dallas?
Yeah, born and raised.
What area did you grow up in, and what was your upbringing like?
Oak Cliff. Everything went good, everything went bad, just life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were getting in trouble a lot while you were young, or?
Yeah, I did.
Anything in particular?
Everything. Everything. I kind of dabble in everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you, okay, so what kind of kid would you describe yourself as in terms of like how you were acting in school and shit?
In school, I was kind of like the clown, but I fought a lot in school too. But I was getting kicked out of school too. I played sports too. I had like a little combination of everything.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were doing good in the sports side of things, but then you were also getting a lot of trouble and stuff. Were you not really attracted to like the actual school type shit?
I don't know. It was just a lot of time. It wasn't even my problem. It just my partner them fight. So you know, one fight we all fight. That's how it go.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like that for sure. I remember like just being in school and having to stay out of fights was like the hardest part of like being able to graduate each grade and shit.
I got kicked out of school.
You got kicked out at what age?
I was getting kicked out of school like 7th, 8th grade.
You got kicked out like expelled, so you had to go to a different school?
Yeah, different school, a different district, or alternative school.
Really?
Yeah.
So you went to like a whole bunch of different ones, and then you ended up not finishing?
I finished school. I just didn't finish the sports side. I got kicked out. I was just getting kicked out of a lot of school. I went to too many middle schools and high schools.
Was there a time period where your sports dreams died?
Yeah, I wanted to play sports bad. But, you know, when you get in high school, you can't be out, like, transferring or getting kicked out of school like that. So I kind of left it alone.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there's that painful moment in, like, a lot of young men's lives where they realize they're not going to be in the NBA or the NFL.
That was my dreams, too, NFL.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be the next Barry Sanders.
Was there, like, a moment that it sort of kicked in that, like, you weren't meant to be a pro?
I just couldn't stay out of trouble. You know how it was just time, like, I wasn't even trying. I was trying hard not to get in trouble. It just seemed like it just failed me for some reason.
Uh-huh.
That's why I feel like the music part was my calling, because, like, I couldn't do nothing else. Right, but music at the time, you know what I'm saying?
Were you obsessed with music, like, while you were in high school and shit?
Yeah, I always, music, that what got me by my class.
What was the first rap that you found yourself drawn to?
First rap? I was on music since I was little.
Okay.
So I just listened to everybody, you know what I'm saying? And especially like UGK, No Limit, Boosie Webby, Kevin Gates, all the just old ghetto boys, 3-6 Mafia, Do or Die, shit, who else?
So you actually know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because normally I interview people and I'm like, who'd you grow up listening to? And they're like, Lil Wayne, and then I start listening to Future or some shit like that. Like, they don't have, like, the kids are too old to, like, really know about the classic shit.
Yeah, before the Future, that's what I would know. But that's one of my favorite rappers, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, and Wayne, when it came to Wayne, like, my favorite one was, like, the Carter One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I've been listening to Wayne since I was super young, but it's just like a thing where like certain influences, people just eventually get a little too old to remember them and stuff. And I feel like the average rapper I talk to now, it's like the Pimp C conversation's out the window because they're not tuned in enough.
I think I just had a video on my page listening to Pimp a couple of days ago. That's all I'm listening to. I like listening to old music.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Personally, especially when we on the road too, I listen to old music.
You feel like you were like kind of an old soul, like you felt a little bit more grown up even when you were young?
Yeah, yeah.
I could feel that.
I was the youngest one, but I was more mature.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I took the kind of like the grown up routes when it came to shit.
You were one of those dudes who was like 13 kicking it with all like 17-year-old, 18-year-old dudes?
Exactly.
And that's why?
It was probably like a couple of my partners my age. Everybody else older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why you got into selling drugs real young?
Yeah. You know how they go.
So when did you decide you actually wanted to try to chase like the music part?
When I just knew the sports was out the way.
Okay.
And I know I didn't want to work a normal 9-to-5, so I like this music got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Something got to shake because I ain't gonna be working for nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have like role models that knew about how the music industry worked and shit like that?
Probably the only person that was just really doing music around me was my partner Lil Deez, which is my manager.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He kind of he was doing his thing. It's like it just Dallas just never just break like a lot of street artists. You know what I'm saying? We had a lot of street artists. It's something that I want naming that I think of now. Like a lot of they had like major big songs, but I don't know what happened.
Mm.
Like from the Quint Blacks to the Pookie, Miss Lucci, the Gator Man, the Big Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? Like people, the DSR, like way before the, you know, the Rose and everything like that. What's a dude? He had a song called Chic Food, Nemesis. I think that's Nemesis. I don't want to confuse it, but I know Nemesis is another one out of Dazzle. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah, you can cross over.
Yeah, like earlier you named a lot of like Texas and down south legends and shit, but then at the same time there is such a crazy number of like people who were supposed to be stars out of Texas and shit that never quite figured out how to get past a certain level.
Like, not even that, like a lot of, like you ain't gonna name a lot of people that know about, well, the young people that know about Devin Dude, you know what I'm saying, Zeros and Trader Truths and shit like that, like, you know what I'm saying, of course they know like Lil Flips and I'm talking about like the Screw and all that shit, like Charlie Boy, like they don't know nothing about that. I was deep into that.
I got a Fire Zero interview from a few years ago. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
It's like the only dude I ever interviewed that asked me to buy him like a $90 bottle of scotch before he pulled up.
Nah.
Yep. I copped that shit real quick too. I was like, this is worth it.
That's my boy. Like crazy.
Yeah, he's fire as fuck. Okay, but so then, yeah, because like, was from your perspective, like there are all these Texas rap legends, but then from your perspective as like a young dude who wants to get into rapping, what was your perspective on the scene? And like, did you really see a lot of those dudes as being like active in trying to help break new artists?
See, like, I don't know, because like in Houston, that was different. Dallas, you know, Houston, that's a totally different word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Dallas. So like, I mean, you can try to, but it wasn't too much they could do because they were still trying to get their cell phone. You know what I'm saying? And we, like I said, we didn't ever just have that major break. And everybody was running around the city just like, I know how to do this. Why the hell we ain't rich? You know what I'm saying? Why the fuck every Dallas ain't like Atlanta or like LA or some shit? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, a lot of them, they talked to us and whatever. They gave us some of the knowledge they had, but it wasn't just too much. You know what I'm saying? They can do.
So when did you feel like you started to actually like get your shit together music wise when it started to catch on?
I had the song called Trapping Designer and shit started kind of picking up for me, like the buzz, like out of town people started knowing who I am. We started getting on the business side, make sure I had my business straight before shit pop out because we didn't know when it was going to come. And shit, by the time Death on Me came, I was kind of equipped with it.
Right, because you've been grinding for a while. Like, I was looking through WorldStar, and you had your shit on there, like, man. Many years ago. You've been going for it.
Man, I'm talking about I had a video on there. It looked like I recorded that motherfucker off the phone. I've been doing it for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of crazy, too, though, because it's like a lot of times the people who pop off in rap now are, like, young-ass kids that you could tell they've been rapping for 6 months. And it almost sometimes I feel like it makes dudes who are in their, like, mid-20s or whatever start to feel like, man, like, this shit is not meant for me because it's all kids and shit.
I was just saying, well, I ain't saying, like, it's all kids. I was just saying, like, damn, I know, like, these motherfuckers come with these songs. I know I got it. Like, it ain't no doubt in my mind. Like, I know I can hold my own. Like, what the fuck? Like, why the fuck I ain't made it shit?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know how everybody got that test of faith before they want to give up and shit, so. It was just one of them spares.
Yeah, it was crazy for me to be listening to your old shit on those WorldStar posts and shit, too, because I was like, damn, like, when I listen to you now, it's so obvious to me that you, like, have the skills to be, like, a top rapper. Right. And that early shit, it's like, oh, I can definitely see how he's been refining his craft and working his ass off for all these years. This shit is way better, like, a couple years after.
Exactly. Just grinding, bro. Just trying to stay at
it. You a studio rat?
What's that?
Just in there all the time?
Hell no.
No.
I don't like being in the studio unless I got to be there, unless I got something. I don't just try to go, I like listen to the beat before I get to the studio, try to come up with a concept or something, then I go into the studio and record it. I just don't like being there.
Really?
I got too much more other shit I had to be doing.
What kind of shit are you doing? I feel like a lot of rappers.
Shit I used to be doing.
Right. Well, but the rappers are trying to stay out of trouble by staying in the studio. That's why what the label is booking you studio time so that you're not in the trap.
At the same time, man, life, you got to still handle life. You know what I'm saying? You still got responsibilities and bills and shit you want to do. So No, you gotta know how to blend it, make a little balance of everything.
But okay, so when we look at like your most recent tape and everything, what was the actual creative process that ended up? Like, how often are you going in the studio and working on shit to get to that point?
Tell me the last tape.
Yeah,
last tape was kind of, it wasn't hard, but it was like I really had to find time to get in the studio because I was like, Death on Me had picked up so hard. Like, I was always on the road. I'm talking about like probably like 4 or 5 days of the week.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? So when I came home, I was trying to balance out my personal life, then still trying to get up in the studio. So I just had to kind of like balance that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just try to find ways to get up in that motherfucker.
So when That's On Me came out, did you like release it as a single? You knew that was a special song?
I actually just threw it out there because I thought it was another song on my tape that was going to do it because it had like more of a club energy. And that's what I was trying to go for, like, for like singles. I knew it was a good ass song, and like when I had recorded it, I made a video of me in the car like singing to it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So like it got like a lot of views, and people were like, "Man, that hoe go hard." So I was like, "Man, that's one of the videos I'ma throw out first." You know what I'm saying? So that was actually the second video I threw out, and when I threw that one out, that's when shit just started just coming at it.
Right, because I was reading about how it kind of popped off on the radio before it popped off on streaming services and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that work out? That's very rare now.
Man, it got to the point, like, Dallas, we was trying to, like, it was like everybody was trying to team up or just trying to help each other to get somebody to the next level. You know what I'm saying? So when that song came out, the radio station, like, because I had already had a song on the radio, like, a year or so before that. So when this came out, they were like, "Man, you need to know what you finna do, because we finna put this, like..." And first it was in a mix show. Then like, "Man, we finna put this on the radio for show, so like in rotation. So you need to know what you finna do. You get what I'm saying? Cause we finna bag you on this." And when the song was going live, that's when everybody, like, I just had to support like all the DJs and the radio stations out there in Dallas.
See, that's kind of crazy, because the story that we're used to hearing about the radio is how the radio never supports people locally, and never, like, you could have a hot rapper coming out of New York, they got 10 million plays on a song, whatever, the music world doesn't give a fuck, they ain't playing it on the radio.
It was like that at a point, but like I said, I would kind of like hit my feet wet up in there, you get what I'm saying, because the song that I had before that, and then like I had dropped the mixtape after Light Work 1, which was what Trappin' Designer was on. And like I was just getting good with the DJ, like, and the people up there at the radio station, that like they were fucking with me like real tough. So like any song that I was putting out, they'll let me come up there when I'm finna drop a mixtape to help promote it, or they'll like put some of my songs in mix shows and shit. So I just kind of gained like that relationship with all the DJs, and like people just bagging me, and they're like, "Man, well, we need to break him, we need to help him, we need to help do this, blase, blase." So it's kind of like it just happened at the right time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out the timeline. Like, That's On Me was doing so good, that was this like the moment, like before the shooting happened and everything, was that the moment where you were like officially sort of starting to cross the line of being like a rapper to really being a star? Was that like the moment where shit really started to change?
With the shooting, yeah, I was kind of like a rapper. Like, I was just, everything was just rap, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, That's On Me, it crossed over, like, it bubbled so fast, like, it took me all the way out the street. Like, I ain't had to do nothing.
Really? So yeah. You were, like, really fucking changing your life all of a sudden?
Yeah, I ain't want to have my hands on nothing.
Right. Because do you feel like in Dallas, that's, like, a thing where the cops are looking for you if you start popping off as a rapper, they want to catch you on some shit?
I can't say that, because we ain't had no rappers like that, like, no big name, like, Post Malone and Dero. Was probably the biggest thing that we had out of that.
Post Malone's probably not running around dirty.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
He probably
smoking a little weed or whatever.
Nah, he's drinking Bud Light.
Yeah, that type shit. But them the biggest niggas that we had out of Dallas. So it wasn't like no Atlanta where it's like a lot of fucking rappers and they just known.
Mm-hmm.
We had our people that was at the forefront, you know what I'm saying, that was in Dallas. But they, like, I see the one taking us serious. Like, they were like, "Man, they, you know, they hot niggas in our city," but they weren't supporting. They were supporting, but it was like, it's just because we in their face type shit. You know what I'm saying? They weren't just taking us as serious like how they did the nigga that was like beyond us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was shit like that.
I feel like Dallas is, or Texas in general, is having kind of a moment. There's a lot of hot artists coming out of Texas right now.
Yeah, yeah, yo, Asian Dog.
Splurge.
Who that?
You know Splurge?
Where you from?
He's super hard. I think he's from Houston, maybe? He's fire. He was just on tour with Lil Pump in Europe and shit. He got a chick going crazy on Worldstar.
Like, what type of mute? Like,
he's a street rapper. He's like 16, but he's a little crazy motherfucker.
I mean, it'd be so many rappers. Like, yeah. I ain't no disrespect to Buddy and no shit like that. Just so many rappers that come out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you that kind of like rap fan though? Where you were like paying attention to all of the shit going on? Like,
I was paying attention to most of what I could, but it was like, it was so many people just popping out the woodworks. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, by the time they catch their bud, that's when I probably got up on.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. okay, so then you were already supposed to be on BET when the shooting incident happened. So that was already, like, loaded up, ready to happen, the BET appearance.
I had just came from the BET.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had just filmed it.
Yeah. The filming was, like, on the 6th or the 7th, I think, and I left on the 8th. Or it might have been on the 8th, and I left on the 9th, some shit like that. And I got shot on the 13th.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And so this was just a situation where you were just sort of going to the wrong strip club, wrong area type thing?
Yeah, some shit like that. You know, hate at an all-time high.
Right. Because you like, as a rapper who starts popping off, you got to learn how to, like, adjust your behavior a lot. When you look back at that situation, are you like, damn, I was slipping. Like, I shouldn't have been running around like that.
I don't know. I look at it like, you got to move different. Even if you, when you in your city, you just got to have that right, the right folks around you, make sure you good and protected. Like me, I told you, I was on my way, I was leaving the club on my way to the house. So, and then I live farther than the motherfucker. So I wasn't trying to have everybody just come follow me to the house. So, and then we right up here. So y'all go to y'all way, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to get up out of here. I'm cool. At least that's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? I ain't think no shit like that was going to happen.
And the crazy shit about your shit is that it happened on the highway, right? So this wasn't like, you know, you understand when somebody gets robbed at gunpoint, but to shoot somebody on the highway, that's some real hater shit. Cause it's like, what, they want you to crash, they want you to die. Like, yeah, that's some crazy different was, shit, right?
I guess that's what the plan was, you know?
Right. So leaving that though, did that change your perspective? Like, once you realized you were going to be all right and everything, and that your music career was going to keep going, did that make you start thinking about shit differently? Like, you were supposed to be here?
Yeah, it just made me, I feel like I wouldn't be there anyway, because when I got shot, I was aware of everything I felt when I was getting shot. I was aware of everything. Like, I wasn't going unconscious. I'm the one who called 3-4 people, told them to call the police. Like, I feel like I was going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? That's just my faith. I just feel like you just got to move. Like I said, you got to move different. You can't just be accessible like that when you trying to reach a certain peak or when you at a certain peak. You know what I'm saying? You can't do a lot of shit you used to do, be in a lot of spots, or just fuck with the same type of people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't shouldn't have your number. You get what I'm saying? It's just certain way. It ain't trying to be funny. I learned that, you know what I'm saying? Because I be wanting to be the nigga who they say ain't changed, which I ain't changed, but you just got to move differently now. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like outside of that situation that you feel like a lot of hate has cropped up from your scene or anything?
Yeah. Well, like, just from around my way.
Just people who knew you since before you or something.
Man, you know, a lot of people. That's come with it. That come with success, like, hating to talk. So, I mean, I've been talked about all my life, so it ain't nothing new to me. It just be what be coming, like, what surprised me. Like, oh, he said that or she said that. Yeah, that type shit. Right. I know they gonna hate, though. You know what I'm saying? They come with it.
Right.
Come with the territory.
So we're not gonna find out that you're from London or anything, right?
You crazy.
I've been thinking about saying that since yesterday.
Free that man.
Yeah, free.
I don't give a fuck where he from. Nigga, free him. He trying to do right, take care of his motherfucking kids and his family. I don't give a fuck if you from Hawaii, man. What they proving.
And he was out of there by 7. He was in Atlanta by 7.
Man, listen, you can't take a nigga street credit away. I don't give a damn where you from. It's gangster everywhere.
Right.
It's gangster motherfucker from the suburbs who ain't seen the day of the hood and it was a split of nigga wig. So I don't give a fuck. I don't care what they trying to say about the freedom, man.
Nah, definitely. I mean, 7. Like, I don't remember anything before 7.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know what the fuck I was doing before 7. So he probably don't barely remember anything about London.
Man, look here. It ain't where you from. It's where you at. Mm. Where you know what you grew up, where you grew up at and what you know. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell him. He don't know. He probably don't know shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't met him personally, but he from Zone 6 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Have you got successful enough that you see your friends or the people around you changing up?
To a certain extent, because I ain't really just dealt with them type of people in my life. I had already kind of cut them short. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you probably heard some shit, but I don't. Not too much. I can't tell what people think in their head. You get what I'm saying? Mm. A lot of shit ain't been brought to me, though.
It's crazy because it feels like a lot of times the bigger you get, that you really get to find out, like, what the people that you thought you were friends with or that you care about, like, what they're really
money
about.
Money involved, period. Just like when you successful, like, you got to understand when you getting money, you going to have them type of problems. You're going to people be wanting handouts and people want you to help them. It's going to be all that type of shit. I look at it like it come with the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be ready for it, prepared for it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So did opening for Jay-Z and Beyonce happen right after the shooting type shit, or was that before everything?
I think that was before. When the On the Run tour was?
I don't know.
That was before? Yeah, it was before then.
So you already were popping off on that level.
I thought On the Run was after the.
I'm just interested in Jay-Z and Beyonce being fans of you.
I hope they are.
That's exciting. Because it's not like they had a bunch of people opening for him, right? It was just like, oh, let's get one hot local artist.
I know they did it big because, you know, Beyonce from Texas. So, you know, especially when it came to Houston, like she had like a lot of days out there. She brought all the Houston superstars out there and shit. So she did her thing, though. I can't do nothing but respect it, though. I appreciate you. Even if you didn't know I was there, I still appreciate whoever called me to let me get on the stage. You right. know what I'm saying?
It's just interesting because, like, I feel like Jay-Z is, like, one of the most mysterious rappers, and I would love to know, like, what Jay-Z listens to on a daily basis, but, right. like, just hearing that he booked you, it's like, damn. It's like, Jay-Z listens to Yella Beezy. That's hard as fuck.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's true, but it sounds cool.
It sounds good. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck that man know me?
Yeah.
All these other people that be, how the hell he creep up on me?
It's crazy, too, to think about, though, because Jay-Z is the one who really blew UGK up, really.
Yeah.
And they didn't even want to do that song.
Well, I can't say that, but I know that's one of the biggest, because, shit, at that time, he probably needed some help. You know what I'm saying? He wanted the Jay-Z that he was at that time.
Jay-Z was smart as fuck. He knew that the South had the sauce that he wanted to tap into.
So it was you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, UGK was hot. You know what I'm saying? They probably didn't have the respect in up north like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the shit was so divided back then. But what's crazy, too, is that Jay-Z sent them that beat. And Bun B wanted to do it because he was like, yo, it's Jay-Z. We got to do this. And Pimp C was 100% against it because the beat was so weird.
It's because you got to understand, like, at that time, they weren't respecting the South as a rap.
Yep.
If you want to spin East Coast flow, they weren't respecting that shit. East Coast or West Coast, that's what was in.
I'm from the East Coast, so I could tell you that we just didn't know.
Right. You get what I'm saying?
But also, probably a lot of people who really did know or who were really in the game were like, nah, that shit ain't lyrical like us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like, you got to look at it. I guess they ain't think we were spinning they type of way, so, you know. But they made a lane for it. It wasn't just UGK, it was Ghetto Boys, 3-6 Mafia paved the way, Outkast, you know what I'm saying? It was a lot of motherfuckers that paved the way for that sound to come in, Master P, you get what I'm saying? So they just, you can't do nothing but respect it.
The East Coast wants to sweep all that shit under the rug, like how Outkast got booed at the Source Awards.
Right.
That's some foul shit. Man. That didn't age well.
You got to look, and a lot of the top runners are from the South. Like, a lot of the music is ran by the South right now. I still fuck with the East Coast, though. Like, but at that time, you know, it just, how that shit jumped off.
Definitely. So if you were put in Pimp C's position, I don't know what the equivalent would be of Big Pimp in there, but, like, if you got hit up tomorrow to be on, like, an Ariana Grande song, are you just going to be like, all right, let's run it?
Shit, let go. shit. You got to understand, like, we at a time where a lot of shit just business. Even if you don't really fuck with a motherfucker, just, you know what I'm saying, sometimes you got to do shit to help you out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that don't mean you just don't fuck with them. It's just certain shit you got to do. Like, it's going to bring you a bigger bag, going to bring you a bigger crowd, streaming and everything. We living in a different time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a very different mentality back then, too, where people were really careful about doing, like endorsement deals. People, like, it was just a different mentality.
Yeah, I was saying they had a different mentality. They wanted to. You had to come through whoever to come through. You know, it was more gangster back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. So you were already signed around that time? You were already in some deal that you weren't happy with?
Yeah. Which time?
Like early on. Because now you're with L.A. Reid and Hitco and shit.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't like in a fucked up as I didn't know it was fucked up. It was just supposed to be in like a agreement to where a motherfucker, you shop a deal, you get me signed, you get like some type of percentage or some shit like that. But it had hidden language in there. And the only reason why I signed the shit, because a lawyer that was representing me at that time told me it was cool.
Really?
So it just, I was in a fucked up situation with that shit. Like, I fired him too, so.
I hear a lot of stories about shiesty-ass lawyers trying to put people into management contracts in Texas.
I don't even think it's not, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It's not that they trying. They just don't know the proper shit. if you want a lawyer that know the music shit, the paperwork in that, you gotta go to a nigga in New York or California.
Mm.
Just point blank period. A lot of the niggas, they like Texas, you know, how the fuck, and I'm just speaking on the motherfuckers that I ran across. It can be some people out there that know shit, but how the fuck can you know what the business is, and especially a motherfucker from Dallas, and ain't nobody from there, just, you ain't representing nobody. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You ain't got your feet wet. Well,
yeah.
It'd be shit like that. Like, I don't think he knew what it was.
Mm-hmm. So then at some point you got out of that and started shopping around different deals?
I got out of that situation with the help of LA.
Okay.
Then I got my situation over there with him, which is a joint venture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I ain't signed up nobody, just a joint venture.
That's fire. What made you want to sign with him, or what potential did he see in you?
It just because the fight that he gave me, he was like, man, let me just show you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really didn't want to go to a major label anyway, because I wanted to be the one that controlled the label.
Mm.
I got a bigger picture of it. I ain't want to be signing to nobody, and they tell me when I can and can't drop music. I want to be the one, and I already knew it. Like, coming in fresh, they weren't going to give me no motherfucking deal like that.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like a label deal. Because they don't, like, I ain't got enough in their eyes. You get what I'm saying? But I'm smarter than that. I want to be the motherfucker running the label.
And you're bringing a lot to the table, because you got a huge song. You got features with all these bigger artists and stuff. It's like, you a lot of the stuff that you're doing on your own is the stuff that labels.
But a lot of time that shit came after. Like, LA can't, I can't say LA didn't. He ain't never got me no features. Like, all that shit been genuine. But right. He did the business side. You get what I'm saying? So a lot of that shit came after the fact. You get what I'm saying? But so before it, like, but I don't give a fuck who you is. You're not finna get no label deal your first goddamn time you sign with somebody. You know what I'm saying? He gave me the opportunity, and I'm my own boss. So that's what I wanted. So, and then I still can sign with a major label if I want to.
Do you have artists in particular that you're trying to work with? Like, artists who are under you?
Yeah, the nigga that's around me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And then we, like I said, we still can sign to a major if we want to. So that was the biggest boss shit ever to me. You know what I'm saying?
What's your relationship with Trap Boy Freddy?
That's like my brother.
Is he like one of your artists though?
Nah, okay. He do him.
I just seen him
bag him up, whatever you want.
Right, because I just seen him on the That's On Me remix. You had like mega stars on there, and then you got him on too. He's like a local dude that you fuck with, right?
Nah, it's like my brother. So it's like, in order to keep this shit going, you got to help motherfuckers that's around you.
Mm-hmm.
So shit, that's all he needed. I mean, he like my brother, and he out of my city. You know what I'm saying? So why not? You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
It's gonna help him. I ain't got no paperwork on him or no shit like that. This is brotherhood.
But so how did this the That's On Me remix, you came out with, like, people don't normally do like the big mega remix these days, but you came out with 2 Chainz, T.I., Rich the Kid, Jeezy, Boosie, and Trap Boy Freddy. So yeah, like, at least those first 4 or 5 names I just said, those are like real, some of the biggest legends you can talk about in hip hop right now.
And they came with a Dallas version.
With a what?
A Dallas remix.
Oh, you did a Dallas version too. Yeah. Who was on that one?
Nah, I didn't personally do it. I let them do it. But it was who on there? Big Los, Snoop Monster, it was Campaign Self, it was Lil Running Mother F. I forgot the SA name, forgive me, partner. who else on there that I'm missing? They had a lot of motherfuckers on there. And it did numbers too. It did like some millions of views too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, all the videos did me. I ain't seen that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you do ridiculous numbers on YouTube. I
try to.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just wild. Like, there's certain artists who just absolutely smash it on YouTube.
Right, right. Now that's. I'm glad that, cause I kind of laid the foundation on it. And then, like, you know, I just got my own channel. And that motherfucker do crazy.
So you're not just doing the World Star premieres anymore?
Hell nah. I did that like the last couple of them, but like the singles I get on my page, and I get like, I do numbers on that motherfucker.
Because a lot of people could do like 1 million views on World Star, but doing it on your own platform, if you could do a lot of millions, then that's like, means a lot.
I do it on my channel. And a lot of times my views go faster on my channel than World Star.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, especially right now. But I can see people on World Star shit don't do no numbers. You really just gotta have a name.
You just gotta really fuck up to not do numbers on there.
Yeah, you gotta have some bullshit music.
Oh, man. So what do you think about the 6ix9ine situation and how they say that he's snitching on these dudes that he was running around with?
My name Bennett and I ain't in it. I mean, you know, shit, we live by the street, so that should let you know how that go. But I ain't got no say. I don't speak on other man's shit.
Right, but in general, like that situation where if you were to catch a case and you all your boys get caught up too, but then you find out that they were like doing all kinds of fucked up shit, fucking your girl, like, you know, plotting on you.
For one, if a nigga fucked my bitch, she was never my bitch. If you fucked her, she been a side hoe. You get what I'm saying? Like, my bitch, my girl, you'll never get to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because I know which one to pick. But, like, if you fucking the bitch, that she wasn't my bitch. Mm-hmm. But you can talk about some other, what else we talking about?
I think the problem is that his has had his kid for, like, 6-7 years. So, that's probably still, it's got to be his bitch. No, but like, okay, just the situation of like, okay, snitching is bad, but if these other dudes, the feds, show you proof that they were trying to line you up, it's like all of a sudden snitching seems like a little bit different of a decision, right?
You don't snitch. You don't snitch. You know what you signed up for. Everything got consequence to it. If I know I'm out here selling dope, I know what I gotta look for. If I'm out here robbing, shooting, killing, I know it's a consequence for it. When you signed up for shit, you gotta know. Knock at the door long enough, somebody gonna answer.
That's a good way of putting it.
Point blank, period.
What's your lifestyle like on a daily basis these days? I try to offer you weed. You're like, nah, I don't smoke.
I don't smoke. I ain't never was no smoker, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried the shit a couple times, but that shit ain't for me. Make me paranoid.
Really?
Yeah, I ain't got all that paranoid stuff.
That's the fun part.
Nah, that shit is not fun to me. Shit. Thinking nigga trying to rob you, thinking nigga trying to get you some more shit, you be tripping down there trying to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with it. I drink every now and then, but I ain't no, I don't got no drugs. I don't do no drugs like that, like no habits.
See, I kind of knew that you wouldn't smoke weed because I was listening to you rap, and it seemed like you were talking about your friends smoking weed and not so much you.
Yeah, I never say I smoke weed. Like, right. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't gonna fake it till I make it on that type of shit. Like, I tell you what it is. Fucking you, what that made me?
Yeah.
Less hood or less street because I don't smoke or something. You know what I'm saying?
People always act like that, like, oh, like, you know, people aren't gonna think I'm cool because I don't smoke or some shit. It's like, in reality,
that's lame.
The more solid the dudes you're hanging out with, the more likely that they're hogging the blunts to themselves and they ain't gonna pass it to you anyway.
That's lame. Be yourself. Yeah. That's all you gotta do. Be yourself when you try to be somebody else when the problem comes.
That's true.
Be yourself. That's all you gotta do.
Were you ever real into the lean?
Lean, yeah.
You had a period of time, or is that over now?
I ain't been because I've been trying to lose weight. So I've been losing weight too. So I ain't been really just fucking with it heavy. But hell yeah, I mean, I remember when I used to get cases of drink. I used to take a cruise out of each one, drinking my goddamn self. Get kidney stone too.
Yeah. You ever had to deal with that?
Hell yeah.
Oh man.
I done had 2-3 times several cases of kidney stone.
That's as bad as they say it is.
What? Oof. I make a grown man want to cry.
Really?
Yeah. Fuck you up. You picture some rocks coming out your dick.
No, I had my dad tell me about it, but for some reason, my dad telling me about it is like you telling me that it made you want to cry. Like, I don't know if my dad, like,
say, man,
he might just cry about whatever.
Nah. That shit, I'll make the most gangster nigga cry. I don't give a damn. That shit, they say it's like the female version of pregnancy or some shit. I mean, the male version of pregnancy, but that shit, come on, man. It's stones coming out your dick hole.
Right. Yeesh.
And sometimes the motherfuckers short with thorns. You get what I'm saying?
Ugh.
Yeah, bro, yeah.
That right there might make a lot of kids not want to get into lean right there. Just the idea of that.
Piss, blood, all that.
Fuck the seizures. Let's talk about spitting a rock out of your penis. Jeez.
Out your dick hole. Yeesh. Go get burnt. Go fuck on these hoes raw. And the hell pussy ain't right. You remember how you used to put the Q-tip in your dick hole?
Well, I never had that, but I had people tell me about
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's how it used to get tested back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. Let's clear it up. Back in the day, when you got burnt, you understand? And sometimes they put your dick on a watch counter and hit like a rubber hammer. That shit split out, all that shit. But they put a Q-tip in your dick hole and get up out of there.
I'm so glad I avoided that. Now I got tested. They just put a little needle in you. Take a little blood. It's all good.
Yeah, they ain't putting it on your dick, though.
No, hell no.
Yeah,
no. Thank God.
I just got tested a couple weeks ago. They ain't do me like that.
That's not worth it. I would rather have an STD and not know than be going in there getting a Q-tip and the shit.
Nah, they say this shit like fire, man.
Yeesh. All right, so do you feel like ever since you started blowing up that people are real confused about your haircut?
Yeah, they be trying to be that stupid ass shit.
How do you explain it to them?
I'm from Dallas. Come to Dallas and see. If you don't understand, fuck you. It ain't for you to understand then.
Do you know about like where it came from and shit? Because I'm in the dark.
I can't really just say. I know Dallas been wearing it for a long time, but a lot of people outside of Texas also wore. If you watch, like I say, if you watch the Huxtables, the Cosby Show, Theodore Huxtable had it.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Bobby Brown had it when he was in New Edition. A lot of motherfuckers had it. I didn't hear a certain rapper speak on it. Even Martin said some on one of his episodes. You know what I'm saying? Kanye really? West had it.
We got a fucking Kanye did have it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Shag. The shag. For people who don't know, it's kind of like, it's like 1/10 of an afro
they
in the
call
back.
It the black mullet.
The black mullet. That's why I told 10K when he was in here, and he was like, no. He's like, don't hit me with that.
Nah, that's like our OG hair in Dallas.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
So what do you want to like accomplish this year? What do you feel like your 2019 is about?
I want to be bigger than what I was last year. I want some more number one. I want to be all on awards, whatever awards you can name. I want to be on it. Touring, everything. I don't want you to miss me. I want you to get pissed off that I'm on this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're hearing me too much.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you working on like a new project, or you just doing videos, or what have you been doing lately?
I'm working. I don't know when I'm going to drop, but I'm working like a motherfucker. I got enough songs so I can just drop a mixtape or album right now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Got some more shit coming for sure.
Crazy. What's your attitude on like jewelry and clothing and stuff? How much money are you spending on that like a month? Or are you going crazy or...
Depends on what you mean.
Like, I mean, I know, Future came out the other day and said he spends $200,000-$300,000 a month on clothes.
I was like, what? You know, my bag big, but you know, when you're on a certain level, when you got your bag big, and you've been stacking it, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I like the dress, though, but I ain't spending no $300,000, though.
Yeah.
A month. I ain't gonna lie to you on that.
I just don't know what dudes are doing. At a certain point, you got enough Gucci shoes. It's like, what the fuck are you going to do?
It's bad when you got money, bro. You'll do any fucking thing. A lot of times, you don't even wear the shit. Only wear it once.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got it. You know what I'm saying? As long as you got something to say, you might as well. We can't take the shit with us.
Yeah.
And it's tax write-off, too. It's part of your image.
It is, son.
Yeah.
That's true. I was talking to a porn star girl the other day. She told me writes off her fake boobs, everything. Yeah. All the plastic surgery, everything is all write-off.
All your clothes. Even when you go throw money in the strip club, it's tax write-off.
So you knowledgeable about taxes?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Knowledgeable about anything when it comes to money, because you got to know what you're getting yourself into.
But a lot of people really don't know what the fuck is going on with the tax shit, and then they find out after a year or two in the game.
Yeah, nah, I'm jumping on that like ASAP.
Mm.
Like, I ain't even trying to be one of them people. Red Fox, who else they got like that? DMX and shit. Shout out to y'all.
A lot of people.
Red Fox, but I just ain't trying to fall in that same category.
I really cannot question your jewelry game because you got all four fucking fingers over there, just absolutely monster things on there.
Oh, this light. I'm finna get some more shit. This light, though.
Yeah. No security. Just chilling. Yellow Beezy, real as hell.
Fuck that.
All right. So you don't have a name for the next project you're working on or anything?
Nah. I ain't thought about it yet. I got some shit. I know I'm probably try to put something in here in the next 2-3 months. Name wise, it's gonna have to be something that I relate to. Probably be I was thinking about Sam Rayburn.
Okay. Who's that?
That's the freeway I got shot on.
Oh wow. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
People like that shit too.
Stupid shit like
when
that.
When Dolph got shot, he fucking did the message to his haters like as the song names, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was hard. Fuck. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. It was dope.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yellow Beezy. And also, I noticed you're super close to 1 million on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody, you see his name on the screen right now?
Matter of fact, Adam, got to shout me out. Help me get that M.
No doubt. Where's my photographer? We got to get that photo.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there. Because if I can make it happen, then you'll always remember. Like, oh, yeah, he got me like 10,000 that day. I fuck with him. All right. That's my new goal. All right. Yellow Beezy, everybody. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.
Boom.
Bang. I'm rolling like an L, please, but God, don't tell me. Rolling like an L.